Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, August 13th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 47 for context only to read paragraph 2. That's for context only. What our main focus and study and sharing on today is the asterisk that you'll see directs us to the back of the book for the appendix number 2, which is spiritual experience. And our reader today will unpack that for you. If you're not familiar, it's on page 567 of the fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you want to read ahead to be able to share on that those couple of pages, actually. Hopefully that was clear. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nan K, the 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today and the support would be Kara L, Elaine T, and Mary Jane Z. And to round out this service group today for Team Tuesday, Wendy B, after the recording, will greet newcomers and get sponsor contact information. And then Leslie will come in to bookend this deal with giving you some announcements of what's going on here, the Vision for You. Thank you so much for that information and for that service. Okay, so the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Big Book study meeting, which would be Monday, August 12, 2019, is 13266, 13,266. And then for today, 7 a.m. Eastern Big Book time study meeting, that share ID number is 13268. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. My name is Nan Kay, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Michigan. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, NK, for your help there. I would now like to ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on the outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And I would like to point out this is about the star 1 function on your phone keypad. Be sure to at least initiate that one as well, most importantly. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, We Agnostics, and then for context only, we're going to take a peek at page 47, paragraph 4. Our sharing will be on the asterisk that directs us to appendix 2 on the spiritual experience, which you will find on page 567 in the fourth edition. And I will ask now Kara L. to please do that kind of reading and share her experience, strength, and hope, and we'll take names after to follow for discussion. Hi, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from California. For context, we needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And now we will go to the asterisks for our study today, page 567, spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experience must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among the rapidly growing members of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With a few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unexpected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think that this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it a God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of this program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle by which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. The principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. Wow. Again, my name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Quite a big reading today. There's so much in here that I identify with. And I think for me, too, I'll share my experience, strength, and hope with my spiritual experience. I was in OA for 15 years. It's only been the last year that I've reworked my steps with the Big Book focus through vision. And I exactly what is described here, that difference that came over the matter of months. I started reworking my steps and things just started to become easier. My food cleared up without me having to think about it. I knew my alcoholic foods without having to think about it. I developed that God consciousness. That knowing that there's a higher power work in my life. It came with being in this book, working daily with a sponsor, or daily on these meetings. It just came. And more people started to comment on my spirituality that I didn't know or see right away. And then that God consciousness, that one day I just started asking my higher power every question, everything that my higher power, you know, what should I eat? Which lipstick should I wear? What should I wear today? Which way should I turn on my walk? It just started to come. And I had, you know, yes, I wanted the burning bush and the white light, and as Bill describes it, the great wind. And yet I feel like I got that. I got that just in being amongst my fellows and working, doing the steps daily. And I get that every day when I reach out to my higher power, when I'm working with another, I get that feeling. I like how it concludes this reading, you know. We have to honestly face our problems in the light of our experience. We can recover if we do not close our mind to all spiritual concepts. And I think that was what it for me is, I believed in a higher power, but I didn't trust a higher power. And I didn't have this concept that the higher power would be active in my life, that I could trust my higher power with everything. And the more I work this program and the more I work my steps, I see that my job is to keep my path clear, to keep working with others, and everything else will just come together. So with that, I will pass, and thank you very much for everybody doing service today.
Thank you very much, Kara L. That's a wonderful beginning and kickoff for us. So I'd like to open the lines now for people to comment on the spiritual experience, page 567, with your experience, strength, and hope. I'll take your first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Robin. Summer D.
Summer D. Robin.
Summer D.
Donna
Robin
B.
P. Donna B.
Summer D.
Summer D.
Ginger C.
Ginger
Julie
C.
M.
Sherry KB.
And that's it. Julie M. and Sherry KB. Thanks so much. That was very nice. Robin P., Donna B., Summer D., Ginger C., Julie M., and Sherry KB. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Thanks so much for your service, Mel. I'm very grateful to be on this phone call. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And thank you so much for the reading and everyone's service. You know, I actually feel that the program was my bridge to God. I came in a devout atheist years ago and saw God on the walls and ran and thought and judged everybody and said, oh my gosh, you've just substituted one addiction for another. And I was so desperate for recovery from bulimia and anorexia and overeating and different times. And I came back in 6 months later and somebody just said, just any power that's greater than your addiction. And you know, OA was my bridge to God. I never would have found God without OA, I don't believe. I believe that that's what God used. And then I was open, and I had the profound variety. So it's been a process. And, you know, God was the least important relationship in my life and is now the most important relationship in my life. And I pray and meditate every day. I go to a little chapel, and I meditate, and I stay connected to God. And you know, I heard that I have two ears and one mouth, so I get to listen twice as much as I talk to God. And I'm so eternally grateful. And this whole program, as it's all about, you know, being of service to God and my fellows. And I thought it was about being able to put the food down. And it is about being able to put the food down. But the real thing for me is that I get to grow spiritually every day and be a blessing, instead of being in jail with the food, feeling like an isolation tank with food. I'm a free person today. And God bless everybody in your recoveries. Have a really blessed, abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Donna B., you're up next, and then Summer will come in after you.
Did you say Donna B.?
I sure did. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I was unmuting. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver. What I love about the page on the spiritual experience is that it's an invitation to all of us. It reassures me and allows me to share that reassurance with the people that I meet at meetings and the people that I work with individually, that there is not one way to create a relationship with a higher power, that the pathways to that relationship are varied and are open to everybody. I've shared on the line many times that I don't have a concept of God, but I do have an experience of God. And I seek that experience on a daily basis. Every morning, I do get on my knees and I ask God to keep me sober and abstinent. And all throughout the day, I ask God to relieve me of the obsession with food, with weight, with exercise, whatever it is that's hijacked my mind and made it impossible for me to be present and to even hear the power of God working in my life. And at night, before I go to bed, I get back on my knees and I thank God for keeping me sober and abstinent. In my morning meditation and prayer, I remind myself that I have come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, that of my own thinking, I am insane, and I need this power greater than myself to come into my mind and restore my thinking to something that makes me available to be of service to God and to others. I just want to reassure everybody that the possibility of setting aside everything we think we know about God and religion and what it's supposed to look like is possible, and we can have a new experience as a result of working the steps. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna. That's Donna B. Summer D, you're up next, and then Ginger will come in after you.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, fellows. This is Summer D, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And, you know, I was brought up in a strict Catholic religion. It was all about the routines and the rituals. There was absolutely no personal relationship with a God of my understanding. And 15 years ago, I made a faith-based decision. And the year following is when I was brought into the rooms of recovery. I had no idea that alcoholism had touched my life and just ravaged it to pieces as it had done to generations prior. So I came into OA with a very strong, what I thought, connection to God. I mean, I could quote things out of the book that I studied for 15 years. It was quite impressive, but it was all just about knowledge. It wasn't about a relationship. It was when I was brought into the rooms of Vision OA, and I do want to underline that for anyone that's new or anyone that is struggling that's been part of this community, I just want to encourage you that, you know, we have been blessed with a telephone community that is PhD level recovery. And in 20 days, I worked through this book with my sponsor, word by word, line by line, as the directions state. And not only have I had a new a personal relationship with a God of my understanding that I never could have imagined. I'm working with others that are now having that same experience. And, you know, we hear on the lines that steps 2 and 10 are the most important. The other morning during my meditation time, God said, focus on the promises, Summer. So I actually looked, I did a little bit of research, and this book has a total of 152 promises from cover to cover. However, step 2 has 20 promises, and we always hear about step 2. I have to keep remembering that when I now am learning to live in steps 10, 11, and 12 multiple times through the day, that the reason why my insanity starts is because step 2 has broken down, and I have to remember and get out of myself and call a fellow and do a step 10, because step 2 brings me back to that belief of a power greater than myself, because left on my own, I'll never get it. I'll just continue spiraling out of control, and eventually I'll end up in the food. So I am just so grateful. And at the bottom of page 567, when it says here, when what often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. You know, I've been self-disciplined for 53 years, and it wasn't until this book, Vision Community, and my sponsor that I was able to accomplish and be able to give the gift of freedom from the obsession of food and really anything else in life. I also want to encourage, thank you, Melanie, I'll just wrap. I also want to encourage anyone else that's, you know, looking at other programs and other books and other studies. For me, it was just a distraction. For me today, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the only book that I need, and it will take care of all my problems. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Summer D. Ginger C., your 3 minutes are now, and then Julie will come in after you.
Great. Thank you so much, Melanie, and thank you for your continued service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I get so jazzed. This is probably my all-time favorite quote by Mr. Spencer, this contempt prior to investigation. And I sat 24 years in AA refusing to read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. My initial sponsor showed me the book, but I thought it was so dry and so boring, and I was absolutely having nothing to do with it. So I put it on a shelf, and it collected a lot of dust. And another way of saying this is that great story by Dr. Seuss, Green Eggs and Ham. I will not have them on a plane, on a train. No, Sam, I am. Doesn't know what they taste like, but he's not going to have them. Same situation. So thank God that it's not too late, you know, and thank God this meeting daily shows us the power that we can actually tap into this higher power, no matter how your feeling is about God. Because if you're truly done and out of ideas and in enough pain, you don't care if the God word is coming up. You're like, I'm dying here, people, and I need an answer. I need help, and I need it now, and I'm willing to do whatever you say. Because I don't want to go on another day in this nightmare, and I want it to be over. So sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but it will always materialize if we work for it. So all we have to do is put down the food, clean and clear, get it out of the system, because we have an allergy to certain ingredients, and then we get busy, and we get better automatically. We don't even do it. We've just sought, and we keep seeking, asking God to help us, and God keeps entering and showing up in these mysterious, miraculous ways. So I hope you don't miss it, you know, and continue by having this contempt, because it's absolutely real and it's absolutely happening. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Julie M., you're up next. And then Sherry KB will follow. And then we'll open it up again.
Hi, good morning. This is Julie M., recovered in Colorado. And yeah, I'm so grateful that the writers of this book went back and made sure that there was access for those of us who did not have the white lightning experience, because I'm definitely of the educational variety. And the first time I worked the steps with my first sponsor, which was about 8 years ago, step two really had me, because I did not believe in God. I came from an atheist family. I was taught that people who were involved in religion were sheep following, had no backbone, were spineless. And it was hard to undo that. But I saw what people in my face-to-face meeting had, and I wanted what they had. God used to be a word that got stuck in my throat. It was disgusting to even say it. And the first thing I could do was write HP on my hand. I couldn't even say higher power. But I was willing. And I just practiced the muscle of seeking a connection. And my sponsor, I realized the thing that held me back was that I was raped when I was young, and I had the belief that with no God, that I could somehow deal with it. But if there was a God who let that happen to me, I thought I was worth even less than if there was no God at all. And my sponsor said, you've always had a higher power, you just never learned how to connect. So I grabbed onto that with my life, and I practiced connecting. My first version of God was Mother Nature, which is still pretty much my version of God, universal love, whatever. But I practice connecting, and I keep a jar, a miracle jar, which in the beginning I had to add to all the time. And that would be where I would pray, I would do my best to connect, and good things happened. And so I would write down the miracles so that I could review them when doubt crept in, because doubt was my best friend. Doubt kept God away for a long time. And so I had to keep track of when I felt the connection and when I could see the miracles happening.
so that I would know that there is actually a God. And now I don't have to do that. It's very much a part of my life, connecting with a power greater than myself, which keeps me out of the food. And I do things like say the Serenity Prayer and personalize it.
Okay.
And I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Julie M. I want to remind folks that are eager to be able to share on what we are studying today that we are in the appendix, spiritual experience, appendix 2. You'll find that on page 567 and 568 in the fourth edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll take another group right after Sherry KB has her opportunity to share for 3 minutes. Sherry KB, you're up first, and then we'll take a group of other ones.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, as always. And thank you, Team Tuesday, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. I love the spiritual experience, Appendix 2. I know when I take people through, we read it a couple of times, actually, when we're in We Agnostic, because there's a couple of places in We Agnostic that has the asterisk, so we go and read it. And every time we read it and every time I read it, I see something new, something different. It goes in there deeper for me. And I just love this because I know that, well, first of all, it talks about this personality change that we must have. It doesn't mean that we have to have a burning bush, but it does mean that once we work the steps that we actually have a change in the way that our outview on life. That's what I've noticed that's happened for me, that it's a vast change in feeling and outlook, and that has definitely happened, and that it can be the educational type, and it does develop over a period of time. The depth for me of my experience with my higher power, and when I start realizing that I have undergone a profound alteration in my reaction to life, I'm sure other people notice it well before I do. I notice it in other people before they notice it. And I couldn't do it by myself alone. And I mean, I spent years reading self-help books and doing everything I could to try to work this disease out, and I never could, because it says here it could hardly have brought about it by himself alone. And when it talks about it takes a couple of months, you know, everybody's got their own opinion about how fast to go through this book and whatever, and I just know that for me that I work it the way it was done for me, and I also do it with others. And so everybody has their own opinion about what those months mean or days or whatever, and I just think it's between you and your higher power and your step guide. And then I love where it says that we have tapped into an unsuspected inner resource. I mean, wow. And that this whole conception, this whole change in a higher power, and what I do know is that, you know, I did believe in a higher power. It's just I was never taught to rely on a higher power. That was a big difference for me. Is that, yeah, I believe in God, but did I learn to rely on God? I didn't really learn to rely on God till I went through this step work and had a personal relationship with a power greater than myself. And I continue to rely on God. And that experience and that relationship gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what I love about this program, is that I can grow into this, and my higher power is so big and so vast and infinite, which means limitless, that I can grow with this thing, and so can you. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. The lines are now open to take a few more people to comment on that entire reading.
Mag C.
Hi, Leah, and I hear Mags.
This is Kathy. I have a question. Kathy, I have a question. I'm a newcomer.
Hey, Kathy. No, we don't do that during this particular meeting. We do that on the earlier meeting. And please, you know, consider grabbing up some phone numbers from our phone list so that you can ask your question out there. We want to help for sure.
I know I didn't get the name of the person I wanted to ask the phone number for. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so I have Leah S., Mag C., Mo H. Let me see if I can squeeze in a couple more. I might not.
Patty.
I hear Patty. What's the first initial or last name? Oh, Patty T, probably. And then one last person.
Reggie.
Bonnie.
Hi, Reggie. I got you. Sorry, Bonnie. I got that one. I apologize for that. Okay, so I have Leah S, Mag C, Mo H, Patty T, and Reggie O. Okay. Hi, Leah. It's your turn.
Good morning, everyone. Leah S, grateful in upstate New York. My share is going to be a little bit different because I've had a near a life over death experience in my life, and what happened was that I said to myself, I will never forget what God did for me. He gave me back my life, and you know what? I became a cynical and I became an angry person. And I became a victim, so to speak, quote unquote. This program, God and this program and this fellowship is more than we can ever imagine or that we can ever even contemplate of what it is all about. I've combined the two. I've combined that God. I've combined my own perception of God. And it is amazing. It is amazing, especially when you are recovered and you think, okay, there's no solution out of this one. And you know what? I don't talk that way anymore. I got to do my part. And then I just, you know, face the consequences. And when the consequences become positive, they overwhelm me even more. Even more, and that's what it means. God is so vast and so powerful. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. Mag C, you're next, and then Mo will come in after you.
Hi, guys. This is Mag C in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, I think it's amazing. I mean, you know, AA is so inclusive of concepts of other people, of the minority opinion, even in the 12 concepts, there's stuff about minorities and being able to be heard so that there can be careful consideration. And this is just one more way, this step two, that AA considers everyone and is trying to be so inclusive. You know, for me, again, you know, I am a product of a chaotic household, and my trust in authority figures is super low. I've been doing 12-step programs since, you know, 2003, and my personality has changed. The way that I look at life has changed. My ability to trust that this world, that this reality that I see in front of me is not out to get me anymore. I see it either just as reality or I see it as beautiful. And no, my life is not perfect. I've got severe osteoarthritis. I've got scoliosis. I have a lot of mechanical difficulties. I am disabled. But through this program of action and repeatedly going through 12 steps and finding, because as my personality changes, so does my need to hear different things and to work on different aspects of myself. And so through vision, I'm able to come back to the blue book and the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and not treat it as, oh God, old heritage. Do you know what I'm saying? Like ancestral language that doesn't apply to me. I looked at that, oh, what is it, the chapter for the wise and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, this doesn't apply to me. But now through vision, I'm able to actually go back through the big book and see how it does apply and the power of it. And there is beauty behind it. And that's how I see spiritual practice for myself. And I wholeheartedly ask anyone, if you want to discuss this more, you can absolutely call me. And that's all I've got. Thanks, you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Vision. for being here because it has brought me back around to learning more and more and more about myself. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mags. Hey, Mo H., it's your turn. Then Patty T. will come in after you.
Yeah, hey, good morning, Melanie. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everyone, being on the line, all those giving service today. Welcome to the newcomers. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater, and from Walnut Creek, California. Well, wow, I could relate to everybody's share. I just love, love, love studying this big book with all of you. You know, I never bothered with that asterisk on page 47 and went to the back of the book until I started really studying this book with my sponsor 3.5 or 4 years ago and really delving in deep. And I can just relate to all the shares. And when it was explained to me why this chapter was written, it made sense that in the first printing of the big book, it didn't say spiritual awakening. It said spiritual experience that Bill had had, having had a spiritual experience. And now it says having had a spiritual awakening. And then this chapter was, appendix was written. And I have written in here 6 times change is stated in the different paragraphs. Personality change, number of times. A sudden revolutionary change. Educational variety. Profound alteration. So it's about change. It's about how is my life changing as a result of staying and in close conscious contact with my higher power. And it really wasn't until I started really delving into this big book, and my sponsor kept saying, connect to God, go to God. And I was raised a very devout of my faith, very devout Catholic, and I had no trouble with step 2 and 3, I thought, but I really never understood about turning my life and my will over to that higher power on not a daily basis, as I hear some say, but a minutely basis. You know, how shall I deal with this situation? And those 10 steps that I do daily practically really are keeping me connected to God. It refers me, I was referred once to the 12 and 12 of AA in step 12, and down at the bottom it says on page 106, when a man or woman has a spiritual awakening, the most important meaning of it is that he or she has now become able to do, feel, and believe that which he could not do before on his unaided strength and resources alone. He has been granted a gift which amounts to a new state of consciousness. I have received a gift, and I do now hear, see, and feel, do things completely differently. And sometimes I will just marvel at myself. I got it, Melanie. I will marvel at myself as to how things have changed in my life. Love you all. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Mo H. Patty T., it's your 3 minutes, and then Reggio will come in after you to finish this out today.
Good morning, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. And gosh, these shares have just lifted me this morning. I have had both of these experiences. I've had that, you know, amazing spiritual experience where, you know, I realized there is a God. And I've also, more profoundly, had that educational variety. And I was just this morning sharing with, you know, a sponsee about that. You know, I can remember coming into this program, and pardon my French, but I used to think of myself as you stupid bitch, right? Which was my brother's pet name for me because he didn't understand me. And you know, and I'm sure I acted silly, whatever. It doesn't matter. But that was my perception of myself, you know, long after I was no longer in that family and in that awareness, I held on to that belief about myself. And I remember coming into a room in OA at one point and being honest about that. And I remember the woman gasping when I said it. you know, it was just horror. And I said, I know, isn't that terrible? But you know what? That's who I am right now. And I don't want to be that way anymore. That willingness to be honest and open-minded in that room changed my life. It changed my life. And even through 6 years of chronic relapse, not once did I think of myself in that way. Today, I have a higher power that I, you know, my conception of a God changes with the wind. But the presence of God, it remains absolutely solid and full and permanent in my life today. And I get to go to God with every inequity I have and say, here you go. Can you take care of this? I don't want it anymore. I can't use it. Please help me change it. And that's such a freedom. And I just love this italicized part at the end. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. And that is my experience. Thanks for letting me share, and I'm passing.
Thanks so much, Patty T. Reggie, you're 3 minutes now, and that'll take us to the end of the recorded portion. Hi.
Good morning, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service this morning, and to everybody who's on the line and who shared. This is an amazing sharing of this chapter for sure, and I am gratefully recovered, living just outside Los Angeles in California. And you know, this is very humbling. You know, this reading, this whole chapter has been and is very humbling for me, because I can't talk about God. I literally, because it's so much bigger than I am. But what I get to share, and what so many people have shared, is like, this is my experience. You know, this is my experience of coming to God, coming to, you know, I've had several spiritual experiences in program, the many years I've been in program. And somehow those are somewhat different for me than spiritual awakenings. I feel the awakening more, you know, in my life today than I have before. And it is that my life is changing. Who I am, you know, who I am is changing. But one thing that I have noticed, I was thinking about when people were sharing today, is I don't feel like I'm becoming like this new person, this new different person. I feel as if I'm becoming the person that God created me to be, and that I have that I can remember as a child, you know, before a lot of before I grew into you know, a self-willed person who learned how to control as a matter of safety and various other things. But so I get to see that, you know, that sort of humility of the child that I once was. And it really is quite humbling. And you know, what also I'm very struck by is I only get to have this experience when I put down the food and I'm working these steps, when I've come to be honest about this thing that brought me in here anyway, which is my compulsive eating. And the clearer I get with that, the more I have the opportunity to work the steps to the best of my ability. They've tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. You know, what this is a power that is greater than myself. And later on in this chapter, it tells me, and where does this great reality found? You know, deep within me. I live and move and have my being with and in this power. And coming to understand that and experience that is a growing, you know, miracle, you know, every day and every moment that I do. And I never, you know, expected I'd be one who would ask God for just the minor things and be in contact throughout the day. But oh my gosh, what a different way of living it is. And I could also realize I never do this alone. My addiction has brought me into fellowship and community in a way that it never has before. Right. And I get to do this with all of you. And I don't know that I could otherwise, probably not. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Reggio. And that will complete the sharing portion of our meeting. We're going to get going now to close out the recorded portion. And then stay with us, though, to the top of the hour, because our meeting isn't quite done. After the recording, we'll have 10 more minutes. So, Elaine T., would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer if you all want to join in. Hi, Elaine. Thank you.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.